The United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave. America has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called America their home. America has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of the fulfillment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries of the world. The United States is also a very spiritual country, allowing freedom of worship to its citizens. Indeed, religion has traditionally played a large role in American society. Many of the original European colonists came to America for religious reasons. Religion still has a major influence on American politics and culture, more so than in other industrialized nations.
We now invite you to listen to the following discussion with Supreme Master Qinghai and our association members entitled Spiritual Life and Professional Ethics in Washington, D.C., USA, in December 1997.
Too good. And you just kick back and relax. And wait for God to come, whenever He come. Many of us, our background, our situation is too good. You know, like we're rich. Maybe not very rich like Rockefeller or whatever fella, but we have enough means to survive, you know, and we can go see Madame Qinghai anytime we want. So it's kind of, we take it for granted, you know? And so when we meditate, we don't concentrate very well. And that's why we don't have such a deep, sincere, and burning longing in our heart. And that's why we have very less experience compared to people in a less fortunate, so-called less fortunate circumstance, materially or physically. Like the people, for example, in some of the restricted countries like China or Vietnam. Oh, their experience are exceptional. You know, huh? You know very well, huh? When you saw them, well, they tell you, huh? Or sometimes they write it on a magazine. Normally, we don't want people to know who's having a higher level, who's not. Because like this is also no good for the high-level person. Such is the nature of the human beings that whatever is not in our level, is higher, then we pull them down. Things like that, we try, or we feel jealous and envious, and we send bad vibration to those people, and they affect their spiritual practice too. You see, Jesus came, Buddha came, Mohammed came, and you know, all these gurus, all these masters came. And what did we do, the human race? Kill them, torture them, make trouble for them. Just because they're too high for us. We can't comprehend this kind of greatness, so we just have to tear them apart to see what is inside. This is our human nature. And after we tear them apart, we kill them or we torture them and then we punish them, and then we love them again. And then if they come back with all glory, we begin to tear them apart. Yeah? Most of great leaders, they have spiritual aspiration in their heart, and that's why they're great. And if not, they're just a politician. If they don't have spiritual sustain in their soul, they cannot be even good politician. Understand? Can't be good at anything. So spiritual attainment is the foremost important thing in this life we have to achieve before we want to achieve anything else, be it financial status, fame, name, or politics. We want to lead people, we have to lead ourselves first out of darkness. And let it be a reminder to us that even in our favorable situation, we always have to try to remind ourselves that God comes first. God is our true self. I'm not here to preach you that I have to kneel every day to God and worship Him, because if there is such a God, He doesn't need us to worship Him anyhow. But let's remember that He is us. God is us. And so we have to remember our great self in order to survive first and then to get out of darkness in this world. Because in favorable situation and in happiness physically, we tend to forget what is the most important thing. We forget. And then we plunge back to suffer again, and then we scream again, and then we pray to God and all that. And it's sometimes too late. We already suffer. Huh? So it is better that we remind ourselves every day, try to endeavor. Huh? Before you sit to meditation, try to pray to God in any way that is dear and is touching your heart. Pray to God, pray to the inner master, pray to your inner self, pray to Buddha, whomever you feel is the dearest to your heart. Please help me to remember who I am. Please help me to be enlightened more and more every day. And that's it. Once enough. If you sincerely pray, once time, once is enough. Because you yourself hear it. If you're not sincere, you can shout the whole day long. Huh? You yourself know it don't work. Because you don't put the whole self in that prayer. And that's why it doesn't work. But sometimes it works, the prayer, you know. Because when you're so desperate already, and so down, and you know you're really down, you pray. At that time, you see the light. Even if you ordinarily don't see it, are difficult for you to see otherwise, at that time you will see. Is that not so? Have you experienced? Yeah? Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm just saying out of my own experience, if we fail, we have to stand up and do it again. Every day we have to renew our strength in God and in our practice and in what is beautiful and truth and glory. We cannot just sink in this material world and material comfort and material kind of life forever. We cannot, because we are not that. We are not that at all, including this body. Now we still remember it, so we still stay here. But in samadhi, we don't remember the body even. The body don't exist. And we know we are not the body at all. At that time, we know our true self. And all of us have to endeavor to reach that state of selfless. And then you will know what God is, truly God is. At the moment, we only know God as abstract being, like bless us, help us do this, do that, and answer our prayers. And we already know God to some extent. But it's not enough. It's not enough that every day we pray for material comfort and to solve some problem to us and all that. It's not enough. We have to reach the state of being one with God. Then we know. We know we are God, and we are children of God, and we are God also. That is the state that Jesus, Buddha, and other masters have attained. And we must endeavor to attain that too. There's nothing more worthwhile in this world, is it? Huh? I told you many times. Suppose you become the king of the whole world, and then what? Would you eat more than 6 times a day and get fat? And then you have problem, you have to go to liposuction, whatever. Or diet, you know, exercising and sweating a lot, and it might not even help. Yeah? And suppose you become president of a country, and then what? What else do we have? We still go out empty-handed. It's okay to work and earn money and strive to be successful, yeah? Because that's the sport. We do it. Just like if we go into a football field or basketball field, we have to play as the best as we know how. But that doesn't mean that's the only thing that we should do in this world. That's just by the way. Just by the way. If we do not remember this, then if we sit so long, we don't have experience. The people who have experience also have to remind themselves, don't be too proud, don't be too relaxed, because there will be more, a lot more to go. Always there are higher levels. There's no end, there's no roof to our attainment, like, okay, and I hit the roof and finished. It's not. There's always more happiness, more bliss waiting for us at every step of the way, at every level of consciousness. So we always have to continue. And that's what is worth living for. Otherwise, if we live another 100 years, and then what? Eat and sleep and watch TV, that's it. It's not much to do, Sometimes very boring here. So I have teach you some way to pass your time, in this boring world. Suppose you don't have meditation, wow, how boring can it be, Sometimes, Remember before? You go to karaoke, you go to discotheque, you go to movies, and then what not? What next, you know? Every day sometimes you don't want to get up because you don't know what to do next. Even if you have a lot of money and you can go to party every week or every 2-3 times a week, you still feel bored, You eat a lot of food, you know, caviar and vodka and whiskey and all that, and then you have hangover, and then hang around, and then hang your head down. There's nothing much, is there, Yeah, that's all you can get in this world. And you wear a lot of jewelry, and then what? I don't want to wear them either. Now and again, okay, you know, if it's a special occasion, because it was tiring, I understand. I like to wear those things like that, that's simple, easy. And you wear those simple clothes, run around very comfortable. The official clothes always make you feel too official, not relaxed. That's why I always advise you, when you go to group meditation, you don't need to put makeup on. You just wear very simple, elastic kind of clothes, so comfortable, so you can sit and you feel relaxed and you can forget about the body. All these official clothes is only for official function. Otherwise, it reminds you too much of the physical body and it doesn't make you feel good. It's not a sin. It's not a sin to wear beautiful clothes. It's not. It's just too uncomfortable, too self-conscious, Make you aware of your beauty and your body, and it's all this illusion anyhow. Doesn't matter how beautiful we are, it's not real, right? It's not real. Because if it is real, we can maintain it all the time, from childhood until old age. It's not real, that's why we change every day. Things decay, And it's not a sin to take care of the physical body and the need, or put on jewelry and all that. But too much conscious of the physical level make us heavy, pulled down to the physical level, and it's difficult to rise up in meditation. That's all. So whenever you need to put makeup on, then you do that. And if you don't need, just wipe it off, be yourself and meditate. Just that in this world we have to look decent, in a very appropriate circumstance, because anything weird repulses people, make them feel that we are alien. This is human nature. Anything look different from them, they destroy. They want to disturb, they want to make trouble. We already look very much the same, and a lot of people still want to disturb us for no reason. Sometimes we don't do anything at all. They still smell it, the smell that we have something different, something that they do not yet want to have because of their choice of life. I told you many times that people come here with different choice of life, right? Sometimes they choose to transmigrate in this lifetime hundreds or thousands of times before they come back to the kingdom of God. That's their choice, okay. Yeah, they say, why? It's still fun. Because of their choice, because of the nature of their choice, they feel the world is still fun. Yeah? And the world is only fun when a lot of people play around with them. If suppose their friend gone, their wife gone, their kids gone, they will feel lonely. Even if they want to play, they want to drag everybody around and stay with them to play together. And that's the reason why a lot of other souls try to obstruct the elevating soul, try to obstruct the spiritual practitioners. It's like that. Just like kids also, you know. They're small and they want to play a lot. And they like to drag sister and brother, even though they grow up, you know, more a teenager, they play a different game. Or parents don't want to play children game anymore. But the kids, the children, always like the sister and brother or the elder friend to play with them. You know, like to retain them in the playground with them, even the parents. You see what I mean? Not that the kids are bad, they're just at that level. They love playing, and that thing is fun, to play with plastic doll and plastic toys and, you know, play seesaw and all kind of these kids' games. Oh, they feel fun, they can play all day long, and we the adults pass already, and we're tired of it. But sometimes we have to stay around and play with kids. And sometimes you have kids, you play like kids too, right? Just for their sake. And you wear, you know, Mickey Mouse clothes and all that kind of thing too. And you wear, you know, reindeer kind of horn and all that, just to play with kids, huh? And sometimes around the kids, you feel like a kid too, yeah? And you forget yourself as an adult. But we don't forget that often. We don't forget all day long. We don't forget 24 hours. And that is the difference between a spiritual practitioner and a non-spiritual practitioner. And we sometimes play with them, like we put on makeup and put on jewelry and we do this, do that, just like they do. But we are aware that we are different, that we're bored with the mundane physical game. Huh? So now you understand, huh? But don't be a kid forever, just like parents can play with kids sometimes, huh? But you have to remember yourself as a grown-up, no? Well, you can't help but remember. Because you have your work to do, right? Your money to earn and the whole family to take care. Even if you don't want to remember that you serve an adult, you have to remember. Similarly, when we grow up spiritually, we cannot play ignorant person anymore, even though sometimes we do. Yeah? For the time being, for an hour, for half an hour, half a day, maybe one day, 2 days, 1 month, but not forever, because we already awakened. We already grown up spiritually. We are ready to take on the responsibility as saints, as Buddhas. We cannot pretend to be spiritually children anymore. And that's the difference. And that's why we do the way we do. That's why we have to meditate. That's why we have to keep the precept. That's why we eat the vegetarian. We have no other choice anymore. Some of you who try to do this and do that and arrange this, arrange that, you know. I do know that it's a very difficult thing to do, organizing a retreat, because there are 1,001 things to take care, you know. In such a holiday season, and to book a hotel in the middle of a capital city for many thousands of people is not easy, huh? And it's not that we have a lot of personnel in Washington, D.C. Anyhow, but I'm grateful. So sometimes for your arrangement or your request. Without you, I would not do much. I don't think I have much to do anymore. You tend to feel peaceful inside, don't you? After some times of practice, and you don't want to do anything. That is the truth. Huh? Before enlightenment, you still want to run here and there and, oh, do this, do that, save the world, you know. And after a while, you feel everybody's okay. Whatever they choose to live their life is fine. It's fine. But then luckily, some big bodhisattva, you know, with great vow from the past lives, come here to save the world for me. And then they would think of doing this, doing that. But the initial works have done by me, you know, like, I was invited to go here, go there and lecture, and then I did go. And then so I saw the seeds of awareness among the people. And then from then on, you continue to do your job, huh? And then now I don't feel like there's much to do. This party, this retreat, would not take place if there has not been for family. The great musician family, remember last time in Long Beach? Last year, same time? Yes, the one who played all kind of Vietnamese ancient instruments. Yeah, and they made it themselves, and they modified it into different type, remember? Yeah, that great family. You know, they just think they want to do something the last time. And they requested that they would make kind of my teaching into music. Some of my poetry and my teaching composed into music. And make it into a kind of Zen music. Yes, just like kitaro. Yeah, it's kind of new age, something like that. Old age, whatever. Because they were very sincere, you know. And some of our fellow practitioners support them, support their ideas. And I would feel a great discomfort if I refuse such great people. And if they want to do something good for the world, you know, to add into the melodies of this world some more Zen kind of breathing, some more poetic and noble kind of music, how can I refuse? So that's how this event takes place. Since they are having a great night of musical performance on the 27th, and so the practitioner also asked that may it be also a retreat before that. Yeah? By the way, you know what I mean? To pray for world peace and pray for our peace, and then we celebrate afterward, just by the way. So this retreat come into realization because of one of the non-initiate people. No, a family. You see what I mean? So anything can trigger our practice. So if we, the practitioner, don't have such a enthusiasm, don't have such a patience and sincerity for spiritual practice, we would really feel ashamed of ourselves. Because even the non-initiate people, they are so sincere and so earnestly wanting to do something for the world. And so we should be the more so. Capisce? Anyhow, this is the capital of America, Great America. So behave yourself like a capital. You feel good here?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a city of culture. It's a city of high class, huh? Of international peacemaking and war decision. Choose peace. Anyhow, this is a working city. Okay, and make sure the kitchen staff remember to cook food and leave it 24 hours for people who come late to eat. 24 hours, understand? Sometimes if you're hungry, you can go and nip something, but don't nip too much and the next person don't have. And don't eat too much because you can't meditate. 80%, okay? 80% food, 10% water, and leave 10% empty. Okay? Like this, the next meal tastes even better also. Huh? Okay, bye-bye. Shalom. Shalom.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Between Master and Disciples. Please tune in tomorrow for part two of Spiritual Life and Professional Ethics. Up next on Supreme Master Television, The Handsome Hornbill, an animal world, our co-inhabitants. May love, laughter, and peace be ever present in your life.